The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. Most of you know I don't have many regular guests, but my guest today is one that we try to schedule once a month because of the incredible amount of information she shares with us. And the insight she has into what's going on, particularly in the minority communities in America. My guest is Star Parker. She is the founder and president of CURE, the Center for Urban Renewal and Education. Star, it is once again a privilege to welcome you to the program.
Well, thank you. I'm so happy to be with you, Bob, but you know what? I lost my voice.
Well, excuse me. Let me get my can of Lysol so I can spray the microphone so it doesn't come through.
Well, that's what happened. One of my team members brought her little sick kid to the office the other day, and now all of us are sick.
Well,
so the next time we're going to say, why not you stay home with your child?
I think that's probably a good idea. Well, I'm sorry you're not feeling well, and thank you for...
Oh, I feel fine. I just can't talk. She's the office manager, so we really can't live without her.
People around you haven't been praying about that you wouldn't be able to talk, have they?
I'm wondering. Maybe the left. I don't know, but I'm going to get through it. So thank you for having me back on. We're in an incredible, sensitive time as a nation.
Well,
so
we are.
That we talk about the issues on a regular basis so people understand what's at stake for our country and in particular what's at stake because of the election coming.
Yeah, well, I got a big TV monitor up here in the studio, and the impeachment proceedings are beginning today in the Senate. And I want to get to that, but first, you issued a tweet. Your voice has been affected, but not your fingers. You've been tweeting. And you tweeted this earlier today. Blacks attend church more than any other demographic, yet don't take their Sunday values into the voting booth on Tuesday. Candidates should not expect blacks to vote GOP overnight. That's why I founded CURE to educate more Americans about our values, urbancure.org. This is something that has puzzled me, Star. The black community historically has been the strongest community in America concerning marriage, life issues, the abortion issue, and so forth. And yet now for several years, the overwhelming majority of the black communities support politicians who actually attack their deepest held values. How do we explain that?
We've lost our way as a community. People vote their economic interest. The black community has gotten very lost because we believed a lie. And that lie led us into ideas of collectivism, which leads you to socialism, which means you want big government to make all the decisions for you. And when your public policies are big government, you start making behaviors accordingly. And the next thing you know, marriage collapses. It's underappreciated that in the 60s, when this social engineering started, black marital life was intact. 78% of black husbands were in their homes with their wives, raising their children. Today, it's the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. With 72% of our children born outside of marriage. So that's what happened to the black community. And the more that you are to government, the more you want it bigger and bigger and bigger. So what we're trying to do is say, look, you can't have it both ways. The sanctity of property is as sacred as the sanctity of life. You can't say you believe the Bible and you believe in God and you're going to trust him with your faith and then live by fear, because that's what big government encourages, fear. You're afraid of everything, so nanny state will take care. And that's what has happened, and it's tragic, but I see a little light that blacks are starting to wake up to, wait a minute, 50 years of this hasn't worked for us. Maybe we ought to be more open-minded about what Republicans have been doing under the leadership of Donald Trump. They're seeing a difference.
Yesterday with Martin Luther King Jr. Day, in your opinion, Star, and you certainly are more qualified to speak on this than I am, in your professional opinion, in the year 2020, as compared to, let's say, 20 years ago, that would be, 20 years after the death of Martin Luther King Jr., are we closer to the goals and the dreams and the desires of Martin Luther King Jr. today than we were 20 years ago, or farther away?
I think we're farther away today than we were 20 years ago, because 20 years ago we were moving toward a society of people that e pluribus unum was coming true.
Mm-hmm.
You think about the black community, 75% are in the great middle class. So their values were consistent with the middle class. But what began to happen is that political emphasis on revenge and redistribution and blaming your problems on somebody else and making sure that we envied the wealthy as opposed to try to emulate the wealthy. It started seeping in every aspect of black life, and then everything that became more color conscious than Christ conscious. And that's why today, you know, it's really polarized, and mostly because of the political environment. It's breaking us down because, you know, people have lost sight of what's really important, what Dr. King was trying to do. He wanted us to be free, not dependent. And now with this dependency environment and this race-baiting environment and the selectivism about, you know, your special interests built and based in your race, it has torn us apart. So I think we're further away from the goals today than we were even 20 years ago.
I know this is purely hypothetical, and maybe I shouldn't even ask it, but I'm just compelled to. If Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. were alive today, could he be a liberal Democrat? Could he today?
Well, I don't know, because you know, he was a very complicated and complex person.
Sure.
And one of the things that just recently happened last year is that the records of JFK were open. You know, some archives for 100 years or whatever, 50 years, but they opened. And so we see another side of Dr. King in some of the discussions that were taking place, all of the transcripts that have come forth. So that would be a hard question, because what happened right after his death, the movement turned toward revenge and redistribution, and I don't know that he had gone there. People still wonder why he was on the side of unions when he got killed, because unions have never been the friend of blacks. They were developed actually to keep blacks from being able to mainstream. Mm-hmm. That's why we have unions in the first place. When 4 million former slaves were let free, many of them started migrating north, and the north then started putting up barriers, and one of those barriers was the unions, to make sure that these newly freed people, Americans now, because they were written into the Constitution, did not come in and undermine their wages, because a former slave would work for anything. And so that's why we have these unions. And it's one of the reasons that some still wonder why he started changing then to be on the side of unions.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. We're talking with Star Parker. Star Parker is the founder of Cure. You need to find out more about Cure at urbancure.org. And we must take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Star Parker. Stay tuned. You're listening to Bob Burney Live.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome again to Bob Burney Live, and my guest is Star Parker, founder and president of CURE, the Center for Urban Renewal and Education. Find out more about this wonderful organization at urbancure.org. Urbancure.org. Star, you're much more politically connected than I am. You're in Washington, D.C. In your opinion, what impact are the impeachment proceedings going to have on the next election? The liberal left, you know, is hoping beyond hope that Trump is going to be so soiled, so scarred that he could not possibly get elected. Republicans are saying this assures Donald Trump's election. What is the opinion of Star Parker?
Well, I think his election is sure, and it had nothing to do with impeachment. We are split as a country, and most Americans know we can't go on like this. So sides are being drawn, and we are looking at either being biblical and free or secular and status. And when you hear what the Democrats have in store for the country, most Americans that have any interest in the future of America, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, do not want what the left is offering. So I think it will be a landslide because I think that that is most Americans of all ethnicities. You've got 29% of Asians polling as conservative. You've got 28% of Latinos polling as conservative. You've got 22% of Blacks polling as conservative. If these people groups vote their values come this next election with the white community that is also saying we're had enough of this, Donald Trump will win in a landslide. But that said, it's very, very difficult right now in Washington with this impeachment. Not much work is getting done. They have many, many ideas that are on the table floating, and we're not getting much done at all. In fact, I've been in my office all day today. The left has slowed Washington down. Because they are insistent that they must try to impeach this president. I think it will backfire on them tremendously, and it's been just an absolute waste of time.
Well, I think you're right. And as we look at the Democrat side coming up in the election, the candidates that are still standing, the Democrats have been saying for years to the Black community, we're here for you, we represent you, we love you. What does it say about the Democrat Party that there is no Black candidate that is still standing for the next election?
I don't think it says much. I think that they make a big deal out of race more so than they should as a nation of people. Yeah. You know, we've been emphasized it just for too long. But what I will say is that they have been making these political promises to African Americans based on their ethnicity that they would take care of them. And although, you know, for the first 30 years coming out of civil rights movement, you saw a lot of employment in the Black community, big government. But now it's backfiring because government can't sustain people. There's no real economy in government. And as a community of African Americans, there's now no economy in our communities. So President Trump is trying to fix that with his Opportunity Zone initiative to where capital is flowing now into our most distressed zip codes so that business will develop. You know, most people don't realize that less than 3% of African Americans even own their own business. And of those that own a business, 80% are mom and pop businesses. So this is not a community that has net worth. This is where the challenge is. But that's why Blacks should vote from the Democrat Party, because it's the Democrats now that are standing in the way of economic well-being when it comes to reform of Social Security so that money will go to an IRA instead of the IRS. They're the ones standing in the way of Black mobility when it comes to getting the best school for your child to be educated, because they're fighting charters, they're fighting vouchers, they're fighting scholarships. And now we have a case up to the Supreme Court that they'll be hearing tomorrow on educational opportunities, mm-hmm. and they will make a decision in June. So Blacks are seeing this. One of the advantages we have now to reach our message into the African-American community is the Internet. We don't have to depend anymore on mainstream media to get ideas, or their elected officials, or the hardcore left wing that controls our hard zip codes. We now have the Internet. We can get news there. Myself, through blackcommunitynews.com, we on blackcommunitynews.com through Urban Cure, and it's trending a million people sometimes. It just depends on what we post. People are starting to get information that they've never heard before. There's two sides to every coin, and I think that when we wake up the day after election, we're going to realize that a whole lot of people heard us.
I'm reading some projections concerning the 2020 election that Donald Trump could take anywhere between 9 to 12% of the black vote in the next election. If that were to happen, Donald Trump would win in a landslide. Do you believe that that's even remotely possible for Donald Trump to gain that much of the black community vote?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we've seen it before. People that pretend that is not true. He got 8 points the last time. But remember, Bush did that. Bush only got 8% when he ran the first time. And the second time, he got like 15%. Oh, yeah, it's very easy. It depends on what they do. African Americans are stupid. They just watch. They don't want to vote for you the first time. But over time, they're like, wait a minute. He's doing criminal justice reform. Wait a minute. He's putting conservative judges on the court that are protecting our little babies in the womb. Wait a minute. He's fighting for educational options. Wait a minute. He's got capital coming into our communities. Wait a minute. He did the Build Act so that now money's flowing to Africa. What more do you want? So people are starting to see that this is good. And the unemployment rate. I mean, let's just talk about that for a minute and how people actually, a high school dropout can get a job. Yeah, I think that it is very, very possible for him to get 14 points. If he gets 14% in some states, some battleground states, he only needs like a 3-point bump in the black community to win that state. So that's one of the reasons that we're in impeachment. The left is just coming apart, and they don't know what to do. So what we have to watch for is that they get so frustrated that they begin some type of race riots in the summer. We don't want that that would change the law.
We've got about a minute and a half, and I'd like for you to take that time to tell us about your clergy program, because I believe that's a key to reaching into the minority communities. What is your clergy program?
Well, at CURE, you know, we fight poverty and restore dignity through messages of faith and freedom and personal responsibility. So we're a policy institute. We're a think tank. And what we do is we promote market-based solutions to fight poverty. But in order to get a law, to get ideas in for a law, you have to have a constituency. So our clergy program is our constituency. Our goal is to find those 4,000 black pastors that are serving in our hardy communities that haven't bowed to the bell, that know something's gone wrong, and they just don't have a place to mobilize them, to educate them, to activate them. So that's what our clergy program is. We're up to about 1,000 in our list right now, and those 1,000 represent 3 million African Americans across the country. So our thinking is if we can help them understand the economic side of that coin, private property and property rights, and how this is important to God, and it's all throughout Scripture, that we will be able to convey the message to them, to their congregants, through them, that the answer to poverty is freedom and personal responsibility. It's not a welfare state. And as we do that, we'll have energy to start dismantling the welfare state and the damage that has been done as a result of it in these communities.
Well, God bless you and your efforts, Star. Star, again, is the founder and president of CURE. And I hope that by listening today, your appetite will be whet to check them out. UrbanCure.org is the website. Star and those working with her are doing wonderful things. And Star, I appreciate it, and I especially appreciate your time today with your voice as it is. Thank you, and I look forward to talking with you hopefully next month as well.
Next month, that's why I had to come on even with my voice, because I missed last month. God bless you. I'll be in next month for sure.
All right. God bless you. Get better. All right. Star Parker, founder and president of CURE. Check it out, urbancure.org. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.